Sue and I were members of a young adult fellowship a few years ago when we were in our 20s. And the guys in the... I heard laughter. And the guys in the group decided we were going to go on a float trip. And they got one of the families had access to one of those inflatable rafts. The thing would hold like 12 people. It was enormous. And our plan was to go on the Potomac River. So what we did is we went to the area of Antietam, which actually is around where Jesse grew up, and we put into the Potomac River there, and we went on down the river, and it took us about 2.5-3 hours, and then we got out. It was maybe 8-10 miles down the river, and our wives, kind that they were, and still are, drove down and brought the cars down so we could take all our stuff. And we had some stuff. You know, we had coolers and we had backpacks full of stuff but it was a lovely day. It was early fall, wasn't real hot, bright sunshine, and some of you maybe actually have gone down the Potomac. It's really interesting. There's these old, nice homes that front on the river like the river's the street. Because it is, kind of. And then there's these thick forests and overgrown areas. It was beautiful, and it's a particularly calm section of the Potomac. There are places in the Potomac that aren't so calm. I figured the speed was like 3 to 5 miles an hour, you know, something most people could walk without any trouble. If we belong to Christ, God's grace is like a stream, like a river that is flowing in us. If we are His. And the Holy Spirit applies God's grace to us every day, every moment. And like that trip down the Potomac on that Sunday afternoon, you don't have to work hard. If you're in the stream, it just moves you down the river. Jesus says His burden is easy. Or His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Really, the Christian walk is easy. Guess who makes it difficult? Us. Us. But we do have to move into that flow of God's grace. And the way to do that, the way to move into that deep water of God's grace, is often what's called the means of grace. And there's several things that fall into that category. The word in sacraments is from the Reformation. That's the thing that jumps out pretty quickly. But that can be expanded because there are things that kind of hang on that. And I have a list up here of 5 things. Prayer, God's Word, worship, the sacraments, and Christian fellowship. Those are the means of God's grace, but that's kind of a misnomer because it's really not. Those aren't the ways in which you get God's grace. You already have God's grace. Those are the ways in which God works in us to move us away from relying on ourselves to relying on God's grace. How far do you think we would have gotten on that day when we were in the Potomac if we ignored the Potomac and the stream and took all our stuff and started walking through the bushes and the thickets and carrying all our stuff? How far would we have gotten that day, do you think? Not real far. Not real far. Particularly, there was like, you know, there's fences and people's properties. You had to move around the property and all. And we would not have gotten very far. In fact, I would expect we would have gotten worn out pretty fast and pretty discouraged about getting 10 miles carrying all that stuff. And we may very well have given up. This is how many people live the Christian life. We get distracted from the stream of God's grace in our life. We have habits. We trust in our habits and the way we normally do things. And we try to please God by our own efforts and our own understanding. And we've been doing this series in Ephesians. And we've been talking about what a Spirit-filled Christian looks like. And how he acts and how he deals with each other and all those things. And I don't know whether you noticed or not, but it looks impossible. Just standing here looking at it, I mean, it is impossible for us to do it. It's beyond us. It's the perfection that God calls us to. If we ignore God's grace that he offers to us in the gospel and attempt to base our Christian life on our own effort and our own understanding, we will be worn out and we will get discouraged. Has anyone ever had a sense of that? Just curious. Being worn out and discouraged in their Christian life? Well, the solution is to move into that deep water of God's grace and to allow it to move us forward. This morning, and actually over the next few weeks, I'm going to look, it looks like it's, everything seems like it takes longer than I thought. But anyway, this beginning today, and then for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the means of God's grace, these things that I had listed. And we're going to look at, this morning, we're going to look at what is God's grace? How do we get it? And how do we live by it? We'll run into the next weeks as we look at it. Let me begin by reading a series of verses, which actually you have listed in the bulletin, that relate to God's grace. In John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, "From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And then Romans 11 passage. "So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace, and if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace." And then Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." And then jumping down to verse 8 and following, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And then Galatians 2. "The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Let's pray for this message. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that this morning you would overwhelm the weakness of the speaker. Just move me out of the way, Lord, that you would speak to all of us this morning by your Spirit, that we may come to know you better and understand ourselves better, that we may follow you always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is meant by God's grace? Romans 11 passage says, "At the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace." Well, the definition of the word charis would be the word, the Greek word, is shown, favor shown and received is grace. And the term came to be associated with a demonstration of a king's favor. Grace that he would extend, his favor on someone. Grace has substance. The one who extends it, if he has resources, and in this case, God has all the resources that are, and the one receiving, if he has needs and desires that are met by those resources, there is substance. There's something to that. It's not just a sentiment. There's content to grace. There's substance. There's also, grace is uncoerced and unearned. You can't earn grace because it changes what it is. You see, if it could be earned, then it would be wages. Or if you could somehow coerce somebody to get it, it could be some kind of economic transaction of some type. The free gift does not expect a returned favor. And God's grace is always a free gift. It comes with no obligation, and it is not a reward for getting it right. It's God's grace. And you know what? This is a major problem for human beings to understand what grace is, because we hardly ever extend grace that's free. We almost always have some strings attached. We'll give someone a nice gift with an expectation that we'll get a nice thank you. And if we don't get a thank you, sometimes we go, well, what do you think of them? I mean, I gave them this gift and now they're not even being nice to me and they're never getting another gift from me. Because it was a transaction for us. And it's really hard for us to think otherwise. You kind of have to meditate on what exactly a free gift that has no strings attached that God extends to us. It's sort of mind-boggling the more you think about that. Because it's unnatural for us. We're always looking for getting something back. Well, we did something for you, so therefore... We had a conversation after the sermon. We talked about forgiveness, and we talked about that was releasing someone from, you know, the infraction. And then one person was talking about how, well, if I forgive, you know, somebody, then I expect them to forgive me. You know, I can go to them, well, wait a minute, why aren't you forgiving me? I forgave you. And we discussed the fact that that really wasn't forgiveness. That was maintaining a value that you were somehow bringing it back. It was not the free grace of forgiveness, because it's so hard for us to do. Also, grace has power. The owner of the power is the one extending the grace for the benefit of the one who receives it. In our case, we have God's power exercised on our behalf. Do you know how much power that is? That's outrageous power. Nothing could stop it. And God's grace presupposes a relationship. Because you see, God's grace demonstrates a loving concern for someone. And there is a joy. There is a joy when we receive that tangible expression of someone's love and concern for us. And we do it between each other, but when God does that, it just touches our hearts when we realize that. God's grace is the work of the Holy Spirit, applying God's promises to His people. God's grace is a stream of supernatural power and comfort and wisdom and understanding and discernment and joy and contentment that just flows into our life. And there's more to it than that. God's grace is the character and love of God for His people being demonstrated in their lives. It's awesome. And sometimes we just sort of neglect it. God's great grace is the opposite of human effort and understanding. Paul cautions us in Colossians 2:8. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." There are deceptive philosophies out there. Our culture is full of them. And they're so easy to buy into. They're so comfortable to buy into. They tell us that we can live a successful life without depending on God's grace. But the fact is, living a life that is holy and acceptable to God is completely beyond us. We can't do it. We can't pull it off. Mankind's understandings and efforts to make themselves okay with God always fail. And see, there's a problem in these deceptive philosophies. Because if that's true, then they don't work. So you know what part of their argument is? God didn't really mean it. You know, we don't need God's grace because all that stuff in the Bible that we describing our responsibility, it's not really true. It's, you know, God would never call us to something that's too hard for us. You know, and God would never call us to do something that we couldn't do on our own. That would be mean of Him. So we define what's too hard for us, and we exclude that. Yeah, I don't have to be that nice to my neighbor. You know, I don't have to be that truthful, because it's so hard. And you see, that's how those philosophies work. They cut down God's law, God's requirements, and say, they're no big deal. So therefore, you can do it on your own. You don't need God. It would be a lot like that day on the Potomac River that we decided we weren't going to use a river. We're going to take all our stuff and go through all the woods, you know, kind of going through the thickets and all. And we're getting, it's really hard work and it's kind of wearing us out and all. And we decide, you know, our goal is 10 miles. But I think we're only going to go 100 yards. That's our new goal. Our new goal is 100 yards. We'll just go 100 yards and that'll be our day. It'll be great. Only problem was our wives were 10 miles away. You know, they were actually, and we didn't have cell phones then. I know that's hard for some of you to believe, but we didn't have cell phones then. So it would have been disastrous if we went our 100 yards and said, well, that's all we need to do. And see, that's what the deceptive philosophies of the world say. You only have to go 100 yards. I know God says you have to go 10 miles, but you only have to go 100 yards. Then you just declare yourself successful and you just move on. If God is as holy as the Bible says He is, and we are as big as sinners as the Bible says we are, we need help. We need God's grace all the time. Well, how do we get God's grace? It's kind of a mystery. But in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, it says, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And then further down to verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. We get God's grace by grace. That's the gospel. It's an amazing thing. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to coerce God to give it to us. Out of His love, it's poured out on us. Through His word, we come to understand who He is. And we come to understand who we are, the sinners that we are. And we also come to understand that the trajectory of our lives will take us to a place that is separated from God and separated from anything that is good. And there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But God, out of His great love, which we just read, made us alive in Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. And He did this by His grace purely because He loves us. His motivation was that He loves us. He didn't look into us and say, oh, those are really nice people. I know they're a little wacky right now, but, you know, I'll save them because they're nice people. First of all, there are no nice people. Before God, they are all sinners. They are all dead in their transgressions. And He loves them even then and reaches out and takes hold of them. The them is us, by the way. And we partake of this gift of God's grace by faith, believing and relying on His promises in the gospel. In John 7:38 and 39, it says, whoever believes, this is Jesus speaking, He says, whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water flow from within him. By this He meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. You see, by faith, as we trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit applies God's grace to our lives. The Holy Spirit applies God's grace to our lives in salvation, and that's just the beginning. Because then as we live out our life, He continually works in us to apply God's grace. And that process changes us. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, changes us, and then continues to change us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to continue to change. Well, how do we live by grace? Well, in Galatians 2:20, which I read just a moment ago, and 20 and 21, Paul's talking. He says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, by faith in Christ. That's how he lives it. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. He doesn't walk away from the stream of God's grace in his life. He embraces it. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Well, the way we live in God's grace is we live by faith, trusting in His grace. We can't earn it. We can't negotiate a deal with God. We can't say, well, if I do this, then you'll have to give me that grace. It is very interesting. In many places where it talks about how we pray to God for His will to be done, and there's a whole bunch of places that talk about that, a lot of those are in the subjunctive case. This is a kind of a, I mean, it's a subtle thing, but basically it's saying to God, it's pleading with God. There's no guarantee that He will answer because we're praying. The only guarantee we have is when we go to Him and say, we would like you to act according to your character. We have no leverage with God. It's all by grace. We trust in Him, His judgment, His plan, His program. There's no place where we get to coerce Him into following our will. There is one thing about God's grace, though. We can devalue it. Like we said before, we can say kind of it's no big deal. We can turn away from it. We can rely on ourselves because we have our habits, maybe. And this can happen. You come to Christ, your life changes, you hang out with different people, you find that your life sort of changes and you're actually running it much better, and you say, well, I finally got some habits here that are working out. I'll trust in those. And the next thing we know, we're far away from Christ. You see, the issue is not getting God to intervene. When we pray to move forward in His grace, it's not like, please, give me your grace, Lord. I really need your grace. Well, those are true statements, and that's an appropriate thing to ask. But the real problem isn't God giving us grace. The issue's with us. We tend to trust in our own understanding, not in God's grace. We tend to trust in our own efforts, not in God's grace. And the result is failure. It's that worn out and discouraged approach. We need to get off the shore, get out of the shallow water of just kind of dabbling in God's grace, and move out into the deep water of God's grace. If we stay in those shallows or up on the shore, we'll wear ourselves out and become discouraged. This is what it means, or this is where the means of God's grace come in. Prayer, God's word, worship, sacraments, Christian fellowship. These are not things to get God to pour out His grace in our lives. God's grace is there already. These are the tools that God can use for heart surgery, to change our hearts and to change our lives. These are the things that move us away from the sin of self-reliance and move us towards living by faith. Faith in God, faith in His promises. Apart from God's grace, we will wear ourselves out with no progress in our Christian walk. Then we will start making excuses. And this is a pattern that sometimes follows in people's lives as they put themselves on the sidelines, sometimes for years. They start making excuses, just like the wisdom of the world. They start saying, well, God didn't really mean that a Christian should do that. He didn't really mean what He says in His Word. We'll just sort of cut it down to size and say, see, I'm living up to this, and therefore things should be going okay. And the deception, you start convincing yourself, and typically the discouragement and getting worn out will pick up over time. Apart from a humble reliance on God's grace, the result will be discouragement and failure. Maybe not obvious at first because we're good at deceiving ourselves, but it's coming. May we all live by faith, trusting in God's grace for our lives. May we all make use of the means of God's grace to get off the shore, to move out into that deep water, the fast-moving water of God's grace that's moving and changing us. The result will be a changed life, but it won't be a single event. If that's where we spend our life, out in the center of that stream of God's grace, our life will never stop changing as we become more and more like Christ. And as we delight more and more in Christ. Because, see, we come to know Him better in this process. And we come to understand ourselves better and understand His grace more. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. Oh, we so thank You for Your grace that we don't deserve even a little piece of. Yet You pour it out on us. And we thank You, Lord, for the promise of the Holy Spirit that resides in our hearts and that stream of His power, His strength, and Your grace that flows through every life that belongs to you, Lord. Oh, Father, touch our hearts and minds that we do not live our life apart from that, that we're not crashing through thickets on the sidelines of the stream of your grace. May we all seek the center of your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.